In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Well, there's enough snow gone that I could finally visit the cemetery this week. Say hello to our departed. On one fine day, it was quiet, just the bird song, hushed breeze in the pine trees. And in the middle of that, my phone makes a noise from Star Trek. It goes like this. I later found out it was T-Mobile telling me my plan would renew the next day, but I had turned off my phone as soon as it made the noise. But still, it got me thinking about the signals bombarding me in the cemetery. Think of how many channels there are just on TV broadcasts. There's 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, 4-1, 4-2, yada, 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 all the way up. And then there's the satellite signals all coming down, hundreds more. And then there's radio, and there's phone signals. And the thing is, whether your device is on, off, or in that silent mode in between, the signals are still there. They're still coming whether your device is on or off, and they're coming and bombarding us by the thousands. I mean, right now, 4-2 is hovering around somewhere in this church, along with all the others. Hopefully your device is off and you're not receiving it. But even when your device is off, the signals are still there. The signals still come. And this is not just a modern thing going on, although it's worse now. Even before radio waves were developed, marketplace callers were offering fresh fish, street corner vendors were selling pretzels and cheese, and midway hawkers calling, "Try your luck with me." It's a tale as old as time. And add to that, I'm one of those people that has a hard time shutting my mind off. The brain is constantly going. Even when I don't have anything important to think about, I start mentally answering emails I haven't even received or singing jingles from TV commercials from my childhood. Just ask the family. It's enough to make a man yell, "Stop!" Or a woman, I just happen to be a man. Who or what will save me from all that? Well, for who, the answer, of course, is Jesus Christ. For what, the answer is the cross. We are given as a gift the cross of Jesus Christ in part to answer who or what will save me from all that noise. The cross is a single word that answers that noise. The internal and the external chaos that fills my life. In the end, the cross is the word of love. The cross is the word of mercy, and it's a word of silence. And it is the answer that answers in silence. Now we know that the cross is a passage from death to life. But let's not be forgetting that at the front end, the cross is first death. The cross first kills. Lent gives us the cross not only at the end with Good Friday, but if you look at the hymnography, the cross is in Lent from the beginning till the end, and smack in the middle of Lent today, we have a special celebration of the cross. And with so much attention on the cross in Lent, that means that Lent is, in part, designed to kill. To kill all that is bad, to kill sin, to kill selfishness, to kill laziness, to kill fear, to kill inane fluff and noise that clutter my life. And if we are to find life, the cross says that these must die. These must die. But remember, the cross kills the whole person. You can't select out what is bad. It's all or nothing. The cross is all or nothing, which means that Lent is also designed to kill what is good in us. Now, an immediate question might be, "Father Chris, why on earth would we want to kill what is good in us?" Well, the answer is not because the good is bad, certainly not, but because the good in us is weak. The good in us is weak. Even the best in us, if not grown from the cross, is but a weak imitation of the glory and goodness of God. But do not fear. Anything good in us, anything good in you that submits to the death of the cross, will rise. It is sown mortal, and it is raised immortal. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised incorruptible. It is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. It is sown natural and raised spiritual. It is sown in dust and raised in heaven. Even the good in us must be surrendered to the cross to be killed so that it can be reborn, not in our image or according to our agenda, but in the image of the Son of God, our Savior. You know, when I think of myself standing out in the cemetery bombarded with signals, they aren't all bad. Those signals aren't all bad. There's bad in them, to be sure, but there's also good. There's mundane, but there's also important. But for any of those to have true and lasting good, they have to submit to the cross of the Lord to be reborn, not of earth, but of heaven. You know, one of the themes of Lent is remembering the departed. If you consider the departed, that which is good in them died right along that which was broken or even sinful. And again, it's not because the good is bad. It's because the good was weak. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. A kernel of wheat is good. Nobody would argue with that. A kernel of wheat is good, but it's nearly nothing on its own. On its own, it's nearly nothing. It's this close to nothing. But if it submits to death, if it's willing to be buried, if it's willing to be cracked open, it will produce fields and fields of new grain, not only in the first generation, but in every generation coming afterwards, multiplying each time. Now, if that's true of a kernel of wheat, think about the good in a single human being created in the image and likeness of God. Think about if we allow even what is good in us to be cracked open by the cross of Jesus Christ, what will happen just in our generation? And then generation and generation following, as those ripples get bigger and wider and greater, the good multiplied in you for all generations. You know, one of the reasons we have boiled wheat on the days we celebrate the departed is that image of the wheat being cracked open, because what submits to death feeds the living. You know, Lent gives us the cross because Lent is designed to kill. That which is bad in us, mundane, just plain noisy, let the cross kill it, and it becomes the soil of wisdom and strength. And that which is good in us, let the cross kill that and see if it is not reborn. Not in its weak state, but powerful. Not mortal, but immortal. Today, the good in you, well, good, is still just made of dust. But if that good submits to the cross, then the good of you will be remade with the stuff of heaven. Amen.